Well, everybody, welcome here to the Panic Podcast. For the middle of the week, it's Wednesday. It is March the 11th, 2026, and it's going to be in the mid-70s today. Boy, that's nice. Mid-70s today, mid-40s tomorrow. Welcome to spring in the Mid-Atlantic. Good to have you with us. Today, we're going to talk about children and parents on the Panic Podcast. Trying to get the last gulp of coffee down so we can get started. Well, take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. This is Paul, and he's quoting from the Ten Commandments, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Well, we are looking at the Christian family on Wednesdays. Last week we talked about the responsibility of parents to raise their children in the right way. And today I want to talk about the responsibility that children have to parents. You know, the Bible places profound emphasis on the family unit as the cornerstone of society. Reflecting God's own design for relational harmony and moral order. And central to this responsibility of children toward their parents is a theme woven throughout both the Old and the New Testaments. And this duty, it's not just cultural. It is, in fact, divinely ordained, serving as a foundation for ethical living and spiritual growth. The most explicit directive appears as part of the Ten Commandments. It's Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The commandment is reiterated further along in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it encapsulates things like respect for your parents, obedience to your parents, and care for your parents. The Greek word translated honor is kabed, and it implies assigning parents to a place of significance in your life, valuing their wisdom, providing for their needs as best you can, and avoiding any kind of behavior that brings shame on your parents. In Israelite society, this extended to supporting elderly parents, after you've long grown up, perhaps even moved away, as seen in laws protecting the widows and orphans and so on. The Old Testament further illustrates these responsibilities through stories and wisdom literature. For example, Proverbs 23:22, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Then you read stories like, what's his name? The dude with the hair. The rebellion of Absalom against his father David. That's in 2 Samuel. I think it's somewhere around chapter 15, 16. And that highlights the chaos of disrespecting the family unit. While, for example, the dutifulness of Ruth toward her mother-in-law, Naomi, exemplifies loyalty, transcending blood ties. Over in the New Testament, Jesus strongly affirms this commandment, criticizing the Pharisees for neglecting parental care through legal loopholes. Very interesting story, Mark chapter 7. Let's read that. Mark chapter 7, verses 9 to 13. As Jesus talking to the Pharisees, he says, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down. And you do many things like that. That's kind of disgusting, isn't it? Finding legal loopholes or religious loopholes to basically ignore your parents' needs. Paul wrote this to the Colossians, children, obey your parents in everything. Everything? Well, that's what he wrote. For this pleases the Lord, Colossians 3:20. Now, we'll talk about that everything in a little bit. These passages that I read just this morning, but there are many, many more, they frame obedience to your parents as an act of faith. It's part of your relationship with God. It's part of our obligation to submit to God. Ultimately, the Bible portrays children's duties to parents as kind of the ultimate pathway to blessing in this life, reflecting divine order and love. Honoring your parents cultivates character. It ensures a stable society and honors God himself. Now, in just a second, we're going to dive into this study, but I want you to notice, and you'll have to take my word for it, that nowhere in the Bible are children commanded to love their parents. Nowhere. And there's a good reason for that. Because some parents, they're not lovable. You know, maybe some parents are, they're bad parents. They're just not good parents. I wish we lived in a world where every parent was like mine. You know, my mom and dad, I mean, you talk about, I mean, they're your typical, they've both passed on now, sadly, but I mean, in any metric, they were perfect parents, raising their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Dad was a strong disciplinarian, but a hard worker, always making sure that the family's needs were met before his. We just teased my dad mercilessly, and I wish I could go back and change that, but he had these green plaid pants that apparently he wore them all the time, and we used to make fun of him, just awful. And it never dawned on us as kids that, you know, dad, he didn't have a lot because he made sure that we had a lot. He made sure mom wasn't working. This was back in the day that, you know, once you had children, mothers didn't go back to work, or they waited, you know, till much later on after their kids are in school full time or whatever. But he made sure that everybody had what they needed, before he got what he needed. So I wish everybody had parents like that, but that's just not the case, especially these days. I'll tell you what, parents today, they are not what they were when I was growing up. I feel so blessed to have grown up when I did. But anyway, let's talk about this fifth commandment. Oh, the reason I brought that up was you're not commanded to love like terrible parents, but you are commanded to honor them. So let's talk about that. The fifth commandment, Exodus 20 verse 12, Leviticus 19 3, it's repeated a couple times in the Old Testament. The fifth commandment is part of the Ten Commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Really bridges the first four commandments, outlining our duties to God, and the last five, our duties to others. The fifth one emphasizes family as the foundation of society, reflecting God's preferred order. Now, as mentioned previously, the word honor in the English Bibles comes from the Hebrew word kabad, which means to give weight, respect, or value. So it's not just obedience. All right. Obedience is implied, but more than obedience, parents are to be considered important. They're to be given a place of respect in your life, and you are to value them. It carries the idea of a heartfelt attitude of reverence. Now, the fifth commandment was delivered, you know, amid thunder and fire, and was given as Israel formed a nation after its, you know, 300 years of slavery in Egypt. Well, it wasn't quite 300, but it was, you know, a long time. And it really countered pagan cultures that Israel was surrounded by and would be surrounded by when they finally got into the Promised Land, where the elderly were almost always either discarded or ignored altogether. Now, Deuteronomy 5:16 repeats the commandment to honor your parents, with the promise that it may go well with you, linking honor of parents to prosperity in your life. The promise of long life is not a guarantee of personal longevity, but rather communal blessing. In other words, stable families. Now pay attention to what I'm saying here. This is important, because our society is completely out to lunch on this. Stable families lead to stable societies. Now, in the context of Israel progressing or on their way to the Promised Land, when they inherited the Promised Land, if they could make sure the family line was stable, then the society would be stable. And, you know, we're living in a society where families are not valued at all. And you can see what our society is not stable. Now, there's a deeper meaning to this commandment, however. Because honoring parents involves a couple of points. First of all, the idea that you're to obey them when you're young. 1 Timothy 5 verse 4 says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." So there is a sense, more than a sense, it's really a commandment in the New Testament, that you are to care for your aging parents. That's a way to repay them for raising you, providing for your needs as a child. It's interesting, isn't it? But then also, when your parents get older, you're to care for them in their old age. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance, forgive. Well, that's not the right verse. I wonder what happened there. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can find the correct verse. Let's see. Well, I'm not sure what I was meaning to say there, caring for parents in their old age. I had in mind 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's probably what I was thinking about. I hate it when I make a mistake in my notes. However, so you've got to have some you've got to have some allegiance to your parents. But our ultimate allegiance is to God. So if parents demand sin, then you must first obey God. Right? Obviously, Acts chapter 5:29, Peter said we must obey God rather than human beings. So this obedience to parents really only goes so far. You can obey, or you must obey your parents, but ultimately you have to answer to God. So you have to obey Him first. Like in our very selfish culture, this commandment really, I mean, it calls us to prioritize family above just about anything else. Young children need to listen and obey their parents. Teens need to listen and respect their parents. Adults need to support aging parents emotionally, practically if they can, or as much as they can. And it extends to spiritual mentors as well, by the way, and church leaders. Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders. That's not your political leaders, because I have zero confidence in our political leaders, especially in the Commonwealth of Virginia at the moment. We're talking about pastors and elders, that kind of thing. So have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Boy, I hate that that's in the Bible. As someone who has to... That's right. As someone who has to look over, care for my congregation, I'm going to have to give an account to God for how well I did that, or how well I didn't do that. So, the writer goes on, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So, the idea is that you're to honor your parents, care for them, make sure their needs are met as best as you can. But to dishonor your parents brings terrible consequences. You know, like family breakdown, like the case of David and his family. He was a terrible father, and his family was awful, his family situation. But obedience, the obedience of children to their parents, that fosters harmony and God's favor. Ultimately, the fifth commandment reveals God's heart for relational health. So by honoring parents, we honor Him, the one who designed the family. And as Jesus modeled submission to His Father, you and I mean, we need to live this out for an enduring blessing on this earth. Now, Matthew 15 1-6. Let's take a look at those verses quickly. Matthew 15, 1-6. Okay, I read a couple of these verses earlier, but we're going to read the whole thing in context. Matthew 15, 1-6. Let me get my notes open here. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." But Jesus replied, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death.' But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites," Jesus calls them. So in this passage, I wish we could spend more time on it, but we just don't have the time. But in this passage, we encounter a very tense confrontation before Jesus and the religious leaders from Jerusalem. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law challenge Jesus about his disciples to not following the elders, the tradition of the elders, specifically the ritual hand washing before meals. So this tradition is not explicitly commanded in Scripture anywhere, but it had become the hallmark of Jewish piety. But Jesus turns the tables on them, exposing their hypocrisy and exposing how their human traditions undermine God's direct command. The passage really highlights a key theme in Matthew's gospel, that is the priority of God's word over man-made rules. So the Pharisees accused the disciples of breaking with tradition, but Jesus accused them of their own hypocrisy. And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? Then Jesus cites two Old Testament commandments, in case you were wondering where they came from. It's Exodus 20:12 and 21:17. Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. Obviously, Jesus recognized the sacred duty of children to respect and support their parents. And then Jesus unmasked their devious tactic known as the practice of Corban. We mentioned that earlier. That's taken from Mark 7:11, and it's just a word that means devoted to God. So this despicable practice allowed people to declare personal property as Corban, as something that they intend to devote to God, and that exempted them from using it to aid their aging parents. So if you had like $1,000 in the bank and your mom and dad needed $800, you know, to because they have to pay their mortgage or something and they just don't have the money, and you have the money and you're able to help them, and you say, oh no, I can't, I've promised to give this money to the temple, so I can't give it to my parents. So it's a way to appear to be devout while neglecting the family responsibilities. And Jesus' rebuke was stark. It's Matthew 15:6. And you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. This tradition, I mean, it was man-made, and it allowed you to dishonor your parents by voiding God's explicit commandment. Yeah, like that never happens today under different circumstances. And it's not just legalism, but this is spiritual sabotage. It elevates human rules above divine authority. And Jesus called out this form of rebellion where outward religion masked inner disobedience. And this passage, I'll tell you what, it really calls us to examine our own traditions, whether they're cultural or religious or even personal habits that might kind of sideline God's will or God's priorities. In modern context, dishonoring parents could manifest in neglect due to quote-unquote busy careers or grudges that someone may hold against their parents, or even prioritizing wealth over care. His rebuke, I mean, it really slaps you across the face, urging heart-level obedience. Because true faith honors God by honoring others, starting with your family. Let's look at a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 22, verses 22 and 24 to 26. Let me read this group of verses to you. Verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Verse 24, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes delight in my ways. The book of Proverbs, a book attributed to King Solomon, offers timeless guidance on godly living. These verses really focus on the parent-child relationship, emphasizing how obedience and wisdom in children bring profound joy to their parents. Now, obedience here, as elsewhere in the Bible, I might add, is not blind submission, but rather a heartfelt response that fosters family harmony and reflects God's order. Now, verse 22 calls for parents to actively listen or pay attention to their parents, respecting them, especially as parents age. Life-giving implies gratitude for their role in our existence, urging us to value their counsel or their advice over fleeting youthful impulses. I'll tell you what, that's hard to do. Verses 24 and 25 kind of expand on the rewards. Like, the father of a righteous child will greatly rejoice, and a wise son will bring gladness to his father. Yeah, I mean, if your child is well behaved, I mean, you're very proud of that child. Why wouldn't you be? Righteousness and wisdom in children are not innate, by the way. They're not going to develop on their own. They stem from from heeding parental guidance. You gotta teach your kids and raise them right. The Hebrew word for rejoice carries with it the idea of exuberant joy, while glad suggests very deep satisfaction. So obedient children, living wisely, become a source of parental delight, reversing the pain of rebellion. This joy comes from, I guess, seeing the fulfillment of your hard work in raising your children. You're giving them a legacy. Verse 26, Solomon, speaking as a father figure, desires not mere compliance, but wholehearted devotion. He says, give me your heart. You know, surrender one's core affections and decisions, observing wise paths in order to avoid folly. And the core message of these verses in Proverbs is that obedience to one's parents cultivates joy in those parents. When children listen and apply wisdom, they honor God, and they're a blessing to their family. This produces delight in children, not as recipients, but as agents of parental happiness. It's beautiful. This group of verses, I think, reveals obedience as a doorway to joy. Both delighting parents and at the same time honoring God. Take a look at Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Paul advises children to obey their parents as part of God's orderly framework for family interaction and expression. Disobedience is characteristic of disorder, chaos, and that neither glorifies God nor honors parents. Obedient children reveal God's righteous standard and godly submission of believing families. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I mentioned this verse earlier, and it's easily abused. it encourages complete obedience to our parents. Let's talk about that. Their instructions, their advice and guidance should be noted and adhered to in every way. The Greek word translated obey comes from a root word that means, quote, to hear as a subordinate. That's right. A child is not equal to their parents. A child is subordinate to their parents. I don't care if the child is 10 and the parent is 30, or if the child is 60 and the parent is 90. That child will always necessarily be a subordinate to their parents. So this implies the authority of our parents. And that authority is to be acknowledged by our willing compliance. However, it must be noted that Paul expected parents to be obedient to Christ and walking in righteousness. See, that's why we're talking about Christian parents here. This doesn't necessarily work with unsaved parents, right? Or a non-Christian family. Colossians 3:1-2. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. All believers, parents, we're talking about parents here, Christian parents, all believers should be seeking the higher things of God, and thereby revealing their faith through their daily living. So in this context, children should honor these godly parents. God delights in the compliance of children to parents, even as he delights in our being his obedient children. Now, just very quickly, it's 30 minutes past the hour. Can you give me another couple minutes? There's some benefits of honoring parents. Solomon's Book of Proverbs opens with kind of a father's plea. It's verse 8. Proverbs 1:8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. This isn't an any way blind obedience, but rather it's an invitation to embrace as a treasure. The next verses describe it as a graceful garland for your head and pendants around your neck, all symbols of honor and beauty and value. In ancient cultures, such adornments, treasures, really signified status and protection. So honoring your parents equips you with life skills that enhance our character. Like fine jewelry enhances, you know, how you look. And ignoring this, ignoring your parents' teaching and advice leads to folly. Okay? But embracing honoring your parents brings dignity. Think of it as inheriting a spiritual legacy. Parents, as imperfect as they may be, often impart God's truth. By listening, we gain practical wisdom for decisions, relationships, challenges. This has nothing to do with perfection, but posture. Valuing parental input really is a gift from God. It's hard to do for teenagers because teenagers think they know everything and their parents are idiots. But if you're a teenager and you're listening to this, your parents, I would say, generally speaking, they're not idiots. But building on this, Proverbs urges active engagement. Look at Proverbs 2:1-2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, it calls for seeking insight as for silver. Verse 4, promising that the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. So in Proverbs 2, honoring parents extends to internalizing their teachings. You'll take them to heart, which align with God's wisdom. And the benefits of this are multifaceted. According to Solomon, discernment shields a person from pitfalls, fosters success, deepens our relationship with God. So, you know, parents, you can act as conduits for all of that. You know, rejecting them blocks this flow. We live in a world that is chock full of lies and deception, but this pursuit brings clarity and peace, turning potential chaos into ordered blessing. You know, there are wonderful benefits for honoring your parents. You know, well-being, longevity. There's a holistic prosperity in honoring your parents. Emotional stability, relational harmony, even material flow. You know, love, it's not that you'll be immortal, like long life, you know. Honoring your parents, it comes with a promise of long life. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to live to be 100 or whatever. But it implies that Old Testament word, that phrase, long life, implies God's favor, extending our days for fruitful living. And Jesus modeled this in his submission to Mary and Joseph, showing honor as part of godly obedience. So practically, I better wrap this up. Honoring parents means listening to them deliberately and actively, showing them gratitude, forgiving their flaws, basically mirroring God's grace extended to you. For those with difficult family histories, you know, broken families and all of this, this might involve like boundaries while seeking healing through Christ. The ultimate benefit is alignment with God's order, inviting his blessings. I wish we had more time to talk about this. We live in an era, as I said a moment ago, broken families, and it's getting harder to do this. But if you want to enjoy the blessing of God, you must honor your parents as best you can. Remember, it doesn't say to love them. It says to honor them. And blessed is the child who's able to love their parents as well. Okay, that's it for today. It's 35 minutes past the hour. Now, there'll be no podcast on Friday. This is break week at the college, and my wife and I will be sneaking away for a couple of days off at the end of the week. However, I'm going to do my best to have a podcast tomorrow, Thursday. All right? So we'll be continuing our study, deep dive in the Gospel of John, hopefully tomorrow morning. In the meantime, have a great rest of the day today. Don't forget, Bible study, 6 o'clock at church, 1230 Church Street. We're going to be answering the question. We're working our way through the Ask the Pastor questions. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about suffering tonight. So we'll see you at 6 o'clock. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the Panic Podcast today.